It's good to see you this morning. What a beautiful day. This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Bin Laden can hide if he wants to. We shall find him. This morning we have the Wise family visiting on the front up here. Give him a big hand. Little Bradley and Frankie, and they'll do something for us in a little bit. Be sure to pray for Keith's brother. Keith Wise, he was in a very serious accident in the hospital in Western North Carolina, and needs you to pray for him, as well as Faye's brother. Faye and Banks Klein, Faye's brother, is having an operation, had a leg removed, and has an infection, and pray very desperately that he will make it. The Lord's will be done. We appreciate that. Prayer is the most powerful force in the universe, and we believe that. We believe in the answer to prayer. Next week, 9:30, we'll be out here in the street. That's the big gospel festival. Water Dog puts it on. R&B gospel show, world's largest. World's largest? World's largest. You bring a chair. Paul Taylor and guest, Unison, and they're going to sing the national anthem. That's worth coming for if you hear nothing else. Flossie and the Singing Sisters. If you saw Flossie last year, yes, sir. Flossie will be there. And Flossie said, being she knows us and has been with us before, that she's going to go ahead and loosen up this year. And that'll be good. Bumpsy and the Redeemers. I can't wait for them. The Joyous Clouds. New singing fella named Hank Ballard. Clifford Curry. Robert Lee Smith and the Tams. The Dixie Cups. The Crystals. Maurice Williams. Dan Traxler from the Gaither family. And many, many more, and the bagpipes from Canada. So don't miss this. Now, this is a biggie. This is a good one. Doesn't cost you anything to come to that. If you want to come to the program, there's still tickets available. What, you got 300 left? 300 tickets left, and there's some VIP tickets available, which you can see Water Dog. He'll teach you how to get them. We're going to be with the governor and everything. So governor's coming. When's he coming? Saturday afternoon, the governor will be here, and we'll talk with him and hear from him, and he'll be part of it. And this is going to be a good thing, so please be there. Music starts at 9:30. We'll start at 10 to 11, and then they'll continue on to 3 in the afternoon. There'll be places to eat, right, on the street. It's the fall festival, so there'll be vendors with all kind of stuff to eat. The streets out here will be closed. And we're looking for a large, large crowd of people. So please be there. We need a bucket brigade. We told you about this. Linda, where are you?
Right here.
Right over there. Meet with Linda. If you can help carry a bucket and take up monies, we will take an offering. We generally don't take an offering. But we will take an offering that day, and we receive a portion of it, which is nice of Water Dog to do that for the church. So please, if you will, 10 or 12 of you, help do that, to go through the crowd, and we'll see if we can help do some things that we need to do here. The rest of the offering goes to buy the firemen some. They have some new heat-seeking glasses where they can actually see when they go in those fires. They can see where people are lying and get them out, where normally they'd just be left. But those things are exceedingly expensive, $25,000 each. So Water Dog's attempting to buy some of them for the fire department, which is a wonderful thing, which is a good thing. All right. After the Samaritan's purse, you got these given to you. Patsy, where's Patsy? All right, Patsy gave these out. This is run by Billy Graham's son, Franklin, and it's self-explanatory. You just read it. It tells you what to do, to put two shoeboxes, one for a boy and one for a girl, and some little gifts in there. And they take them around the world and disperse them to people who won't have a Christmas other than what we can give them. And it is the 11th of November. That's when they have to be here. And you're going to bring them here or to the other place, all right? You know where the other place is. That's not very descriptive. The other place is H. Lee's other building up. When you see Bullinose, the next light up, you'll see Bullinose. Across the street, three buildings down, is the arcade. And H. Lee owns that, and that's where to take your bucket. That's where to take it November the 11th, your two shoeboxes, and we'll have them picked up. We'll start meeting there, not next Sunday, the Sunday after that. H. Lee has given us this all summer, as he did for the last couple of summers, and he's letting us use his building all winter. He just gave us the key, said, have at it. Mm-hmm. Isn't that good? And H. Lee's like me, rather than do anything, he delegates authority. And he told Linda, said, Linda, we gave you a job this week. She said, okay. He said, get us 100 chairs for the other building. He said, say what? He said, get us 100 chairs for the other building. And she's saying, I don't know where to get one chair for the other building. So she's doing the work that she does and talks to a fellow. She says, I got a problem. So what is it? Said, I got to get 100 chairs by next week. Do you know anybody where I could start? And he said, well, a guy from Fayetteville bought a warehouse down here. It was loaded up with them. She said, well, do you have his name? He said, yes. He said, give it to me, please. I'll call him. Said, his name is Dynamite. I don't know how to get hold of it. And Linda said, well, I do. And so Dynamite said, I just happen to have 100 chairs. I got them on a truck. Where you want them? And put them down there. Isn't that wonderful? And we thank you for that. All right, Miss Ann, am I leaving anything out that you know of on that order? All right, good. Little Frankie is with us. Frankie, come here, my little buddy. Little Frankie Wise is with us, and Frankie sings and plays the piano and is a smart little fellow. And he has cystic fibrosis and the next 10 diseases you can name, he says. And Tuesday, he's having a very serious operation, Tuesday. So you please pray for him, because we have prayed for him and with him, and he knows that it's in the Lord's hands. And we don't worry, do we, little buddy? Turn it over to the Lord and let it go? Okay. So Frankie is going to play the piano for us this morning. So you think you can go over and do that? Okay, good boy. You do that.
Thank you.
right. That's wonderful. Absolutely. Isn't that wonderful? All right, now. Little Bradley's with us. Bradley's been over at my house all week chasing the cat. He gets on all fours and cuts out across that rug. And you've never seen anything quite like him when he does that. He was going to wear his legs. He has got a blister. Said he had a blister on his nub. Couldn't wear his legs. He's been practicing walking so much. And he's walking real well, doing real good. And because of you and the Shriners and Harold Besant, this little boy who couldn't walk now does. And we're so proud of him. Bring him up here and put him right here. Put him right here. All right. Bradley, love you. Love you too. Now, I told you to wear your sunglasses. Did you wear your sunglasses? Didn't wear them? All right. Well, can you do Ray Charles without your sunglasses? Georgia, that's right. Georgia. That's got it. He can sing Georgia. Now, Bradley loves to sing. He came up short on tongues, but he loves to sing. And he loves to dance. He gets loose on my floor on all fours and looks like somebody's pulled a spring and let him go. I mean, it's something to see. We can't let him do it here, isn't it? It hurt his little self, but the little boy can do it. But he said this morning, you have to listen very carefully, Bradley, you going to sing America for me? Thank you, darling. No, that's okay. Yeah, all right. Now here, Bradley been watching me, and we asked him, we said, Bradley, what does the preacher do? Nothing. All right. Thank you, honey. Nothing. Doesn't do nothing. I mean, if you can't get into that, there's something wrong with you. And we were Monday, I was riding down to the, have we got that? Riding down to the Walmart. I was looking for a license tag for Frankie. He said he couldn't find one with his name on it. And they sent me down to 544. They didn't do them up near our house. And I went down there, and I pull in the parking place, and there's a car pulling in the other parking place facing me, two cars down. I don't recognize the car because I've never seen that one before. And look in the back window, I said, that's Bradley. There can't be two Bradleys. And Frankie jumps up and runs out, and it was the Wise family. And they said, what are you doing? I said, well, I got to get some tags. I had to get one for Frankie to put on his new soapbox derby that a race car driver sent him. One of the racers up in Michigan sent him a full-fledged derby, original derby, that he can ride in the street, and he's learning to do it. Hadn't hit the curb but twice, hadn't cut but one flip, and but he's learning how to do that. So we got him that. Little Frankie, your license plate. And Sylvia said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I got to get some license plates, and I got to get one for you. It says the King's Kids. I said, I saw you come up to the hospital in Winston-Salem in that Tijuana taxi. And I said, you know, they're going to repossess you while you're moving. You better get a tag on that thing that says the King's Kids. So we got that, and we want to give that to you. and stay here with me. We got Bradley. Bring Bradley, honey. Bring Brad Frankie, if you'll come up here, please. We got you a tag, too. Okay. We got you. Hold this, Bradley. Hold that for me. Thank you. Well, here, hold this one. And don't knock stuff out the baby's hands. There, he can hold it if you leave him alone. And we got you a tag, and it goes on the inside of the car because you can think about us when you're riding around, okay? It says to Frankie and Bradley, because we love you, in Jesus' name, Church of the Lost and Found. And don't you dare put this on that Tijuana taxi. Give your mama this, Bradley. Give her that. That's your keychain. And your key is sitting in your new car, sitting right there.
Yeah.
Turn around. There it is right there. Yeah, it is. Here. All right. I am crazy, but it is yours. Now get out of my face. I got to preach. All right. And because of you good folks who are helping to pay for this, little Bradley and Frankie will ride to the hospital in style now and in comfort. And if Sylvia don't die over there, we'll go ahead with the service. No, the tire. Oh, me. Get on back over here. The car will be there when you leave. You'll be in it. Now, Keith, when your tire went flat this morning, Ann had to come get you. Did you flatten that tire? You did? I said, I know what he flattened that tire where he could drive that thing back. But come on, Sylvia. You going to sit over there? Okay. Very good. Well, we thank you on behalf of everybody. We thank you for what you do, Keith. And for what your wife does with these children. And we thank you for just letting us be part of their lives. And we appreciate that. And George Sloan got that in Charlotte. He threatened somebody. I don't know. Boy, but it looks like a new one to me. And thank you, George, for the work you did on getting that and getting that through Hendrick Honda. And we'll figure out how to pay for it later. Possession is 90% ownership. All right. Thank you for coming this morning and being here. Don't you even reach this microphone. Oh, me. Don't let her have the microphone. We gave it to her last time. Ain't going to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're proud to be here. Thank you for allowing us, H. Lee, to be here. And now we'll pray and have service if we will. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity to show the love of God to your children. Allow us the opportunity to be a part of your love, and that you would use us in some small way to bring happiness to some folks who are a blessing to all of us. And I promise what they've done for us is far more than what we'll do for them. To see the persistence and determination and enthusiasm and the good Christian family that's formed together and their trust and faith in you is worth more than any money could possibly pay for. And we thank you for that. We thank you this morning for those who have bothered to get up and come this way and come to hear the word of God. We thank you for that. We thank you for our friends who loan us the buildings to preach in, and those who gave us the chairs, the dynamite, would care enough to give us chairs to sit in so people could be be listening to the Word of God. How kind you have been through these people, and thank you for them and what they've done for our family and what we've done as a group, Lord, to show your love to other people here. Now again, this morning we ask that you remove me from this place, that you be heard. That anything I say that should be forgotten certainly would be, and anything that should be remembered, please let it be. And magnify thy name and glorify thy son. And if there be one here who knows you not as Savior, may they not leave here in the same condition. May they leave here born again, a child of God wrapped in his love and in his family forevermore. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. This morning we're going to preach on two parables. One of them's written in the Bible and one of them I wrote. Guess which one's best? Ann typed it up, said, "This don't look like much." I said, "Good, Jesus wrote every word of this." So she's a honey. If you turn Matthew 13, 1 through 9, you'll read the parable of the sower. And I'll read that to you. It's quite an interesting parable. Jesus spoke in parables, and a parable will illustrate a heavenly truth by giving it in an earthly fashion, an earthly story. You can differentiate between parables and factual accounts in Scripture. If it's a parable and it's a story, the people's names will not be named. It will just say a sower or a man or whatever. If it's an actual account, it will give the man's name. And when it gives Daniel, Daniel was in the lion's den. When it says Noah, he was in the boat. Don't worry about it. If the name is not there, it's a story. If the name is there, it's a fact. Bet on it. So this is a parable from which we can draw heavenly truths. And the scripture says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some of the seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But other seeds fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now we don't have to worry about what this means, because in verse 18 through 23, you will read Jesus' explanation of the parables that he just gave. And he tells you explicitly what it means. And we give you that same information plus a little bit more to clarify things so you will understand what was doing. First, he said he went by the seaside. I always knew I liked Jesus even before I knew him well, because he was a beach person. Went by the seaside to preach. He wasn't born there, but he went to Capernaum to set up his headquarters for his ministry. If you look on your map, it's by the seaside. He was specially drawn to that sea that he had made, and I think maybe that's why we love it just a little bit, because he did so. And he said a sower went forth. Now the sower spoken of in the parable in this case is Jesus. He's sowing the word of God. He's sowing the gospel. But that sower is also you or me or any missionary or any preacher or anyone giving out tracts or those who go into homes door to door and witness for the Lord Jesus, as Keith has a habit of doing. And any of these things, the musicians who play like Paul and Randy, and these folks who spread the gospel that way. There are many ways to do that, but all of these are called sowers. They're sowers of the seed. And it's our duty to sow. Everybody has a duty to sow in some way or another. You say, well, I can't speak or I can't do this. Well, then you sow by the good things you do. It's sowing when you give 100 chairs. Somebody will sit in those chairs who's on his way to hell and will get up and be on his way to heaven. You see the importance of a chair? Some little child will receive a gift because Patsy cared enough to put us in touch with Franklin, and he'll say, who did this? And they'll explain, the missionaries did this. He'll talk to a missionary, and that child somewhere across the ocean will find Jesus because you packed a box of toys and thought nothing about it. That's sowing. That's doing the work and the will of God. And nothing is too small for him to miss. He told us, if a sparrow falls in my creation, if a sparrow falls, I take note of that. There is nothing that escapes his notice. You say, my problems are too small and my problems aren't big enough to pray about. You go ahead and pray about whatever they are. I remember a friend of mine, Mike Hatch, somebody from Clinton was here the other day, and I asked him if they knew Mike, and a friend of mine, he said yes. And Mike used to tell me he had a little grandmother that was at church every time the door was open and trying to get in when it wasn't. And they had a little raggedy baseball sewn up in the sides with thread, and they only had one, and it was closer to a tennis ball. It was soft than a hard ball, but they'd play the best they could. And they'd hit the ball into the weeds sometime, and it would be gone. And they'd look, and they couldn't find the ball, and Mike would say, well, let's go get Granny. And they'd go to Granny and say, Granny, we've lost the baseball. You see, children hadn't got any more hesitation to pray to find a baseball than you do to have an income come in or someone healed of a serious disease. They just trust him. And they came to her and said, we've lost the baseball, Granny. And she said, well, now get in a circle. And she'd get them around in a circle in her rocking chair. She'd be there and said, now bow your heads and we're going to pray. And he said, I can hear it right now. Say, dear Lord, the boys have one ball, and they enjoy playing with it, and thank you for it, and we can't buy another one. And they have lost it, and they need to find their ball. And if you will, I'm going to get up out of this chair, and I'm going to ease on over in those weeds, and if you would, lead me to the ball. Said that old lady'd get up, look around, edge over that field, and it wouldn't be 1 minute before she bent down and picked up that baseball. And you can say you should have found it anyway if you want to. But I know prayers are answered. I was laughing this week because we were laughing at Sylvia. She said, I'm going to surprise you. We were going to surprise you and show up down here. And I said, well, you certainly did. She said, well, let's go to your house. We'll surprise Ann. Make sure she's home. And Ann happened to cut in front of us on the way home. She didn't see us because she don't look backward when she drives. That's fair warning for everybody. I mean, I said, she ain't going to look back here. Don't worry about that. And she went to the house, and I had trouble getting her in. She was headed. So I said, well, just come in. Well, why? Just, please, for once, just do what I ask you. So she came in the house, and I'm fooling with her, asking her silly questions about something that she knew already knew to waste time. And we hear a knock on the door, and I said, honey, get the door. Well, why don't you get it? You know how you do at home. I said, I don't want to get it. Please, just do what I ask you. And so she condescended and went and answered the door. And Sylvia had put Bradley on the doorstep and run. And there he was, hand mad at me, opening the door. Rah, 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 rah. And there was little Bradley. And just like you, he'll melt your heart as soon as you see him. And she said, what a surprise. And so I said, yeah, you go ahead and keep surprising me. And Tuesday, I think it was, they were riding down to the campground where they're staying. And the car, the transmission was skipping, and it was awful. And she passed the Ford place down there. And her husband told me this, said, and she looked at, she said, Lord, I wish we had a car. And she said, Lord Jesus, please, said, is there any way you could get us a car? And I don't mean to overdo this, but I either want a white one or a tan one. And so Keith tells me this, and I'm just dying laughing because I already know. See? And so he was headed back to Winston-Salem, so I had to tell him. I said, let me tell you something. And I told him what we were doing, and he cried and shook his head and said, I don't believe this. I said, you don't know how many people love your babies, mister. You got no idea. And so you got your car, and prayers do get answered sometimes before you even asking them. So our duty is to do that, to pray, do what God said. He said some of the gospel that we preach will fall by the wayside. Please understand the wayside in that land. They didn't have anchor fences and like we do now, so people had their property line. They were drawn by paths, and people would walk between the two properties. And those little paths would form, and they would become so hard. They'd come hard as concrete. And if any seed you were sowing in your field fell on them, I wasn't going to grow. And it wouldn't be long before the birds came along, and that just free lunch for them. And that was wasted. It was gone. And Jesus said, when you preach the gospel, that some of this is going to fall by the wayside. That it's just going to land on hardened ground. People have hardened their hearts. They say, well, I've been to church as a child, and I didn't like it. My dad made me go, and I didn't want to go, and I don't go now because he made me go then, which isn't very logical reasoning, but people will do that. And there's others who will have a circumstance, maybe a business fails, or a member of the family dies, or a child dies, or something like that, and they blame God for that. So they say, I'm not any God that let my child die. I'm not going to worship. And for the rest of their life, they're hardened against the gospel. They forgot. They're blaming the wrong party. When God started sin and death, it was the other party that did that. It was Satan that did that. Nothing to do with God. He had to enlarge hell because of sin. The Bible says man wouldn't cooperate. Man was never intended to know what death was. You were to live forever from the beginning. That was the plan. Then the doctor in the world can give you a reason for death other than you stop breathing right now. They can't tell you what it is. All they can say, we don't know. You just get finished, either by disease or you don't breathe anymore. But that's what death is. All they know, see, wasn't intended for man to do. And so the reaction to these things, or they've had a preacher somewhere that got in their face and embarrassed them in front of a crowd. There's 100 reasons. Well, people get hardened against the gospel. But if you find your way that way this morning, please understand it's not all like that. Please understand there's some kind people in the world. And because they love God, they show his love. And if you didn't understand that this morning, I don't know how we're going to explain it to you. And God's good and loves you and wants to do right by you. And yes, your family members are going to die. I've told you 100 times, the death rate in this world is 100%. It's going to happen to everybody. It's not what is going to happen. Are you going to die? The question is, what then? What's your reaction to death going to be then? That's what you better be figuring out. So people get where the gospel's not important. It's just another thing. And these are the hardened people at the wayside. No secret. Bible said it was happening. He said in Acts 28:27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. What that means in common language is a sinner is sick. He's a sin-sick human being. He doesn't know what to do. And he will go to every extreme and anything to be healed from that sickness. Except go to the one who can heal him. Sin can be healed by the Lord Jesus Christ only. Only. There are 9 million psychiatrists and psychologists, and they have these meetings and discuss which philosophy and which treatment, and nobody bothers to ask them, have any of you ever cured anybody who was mentally ill? Because they hadn't. They just changed philosophies and changed cures, and none of them worked. Do you know today they will not let me walk into Bull Street in Columbia or Dix Hill in Raleigh with a Bible in my hand to counsel people and pray with them? Well, why? We used to be able to come. No, it upsets too many of the people now. You know why it upsets those people? They're not mentally ill. They're demon possessed. We upset the demons when we go because they don't want people to hear the gospel, and they don't want them healed. They want them in misery, and they want them lost, and they want them to have to go to hell like they got to go back to. Please understand that. And if your heart is hard this morning, please let it melt. The second was the stony places. The stony places, if you've ever been to the Holy Land, it looks like every bird in the world was told to get a rock one Tuesday and drop it over there. It's hard to find good ground. And then you'll see good ground and you say, boy, we could make a garden here. But in most of those areas, just under the ground is limestone. And limestone will hold heat and water. And the heat and water is under the ground. It's a natural greenhouse. And you drop the seed on that, and it'll grow. I mean, boy, it sprouts up. But it's a false growth because the limestone and the heat is only that far under the ground. And it sprouts quickly, and then it dies soon. You've seen people do this. They'll go to a revival. Billy Graham will come to town. Some good preacher will come to your church, and they'll hold a revival. And a guy just gets all excited, and he gets religion, as you call it. Okay. And 2 weeks later, he's right back where he was. And from that, people deduct that you can lose your salvation. No, he never had any to lose. He just got excited, got interested, jumped up and down, did a backflip, rolled over and shouted a time or two, but he did not change inside. And conversion changes the person. It's the only thing that will change human nature, is conversion by the Holy Spirit, a regeneration, a rebirth, and that's what we preachers call being born again, being born of the Spirit. So you have to watch those people who quickly sprout. And that's why the Bible teaches to lay hands not quickly on someone. Don't take a young man who's all excited because he was at the revival last week and wants to preach for you next Sunday. Be real careful of that. Be real. Let him clean toilets for about 6 months first. Let him sweep the yard for about a year. And if he's still excited, then we may consider letting him get up here on Sunday morning. But not until we find out what we got. Because you'll end up with Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson went to the Baptist church in Harlem and got baptized and wrapped in white, and everybody cheered. And he said, Mike has become a Christian. I said, no, I don't think so. I hope so. I don't think so. It wasn't long before he got wrapped up with another manager and became a Muslim. He'll get wrapped up with another one and become something else. Because the truth of the matter was, he had no conversion. It was just a quick emotional thing and over with. Lord Jesus says in Matthew 24, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So don't tell me you love me on Monday and gossip about me on Friday. Don't tell me you love me in a marriage ceremony and 10 or 12 years later you talking to the lawyers about leaving with the house and the car and the dog and everything else. You didn't love me, you liked me. If you love me, you willing to give your life for me, this book said. See? Somebody said, well, you mean you and Ann been married 20 years and you never considered divorce? Absolutely not. Considered murder 2 or 3 times. But not divorce. I mean, she's willing to, she knows how to punch now. And you had to break a new one in, I'd knock her out in a minute, wasn't it, honey? But when somebody tells you they love you, they're supposed to mean that. Too many people get married today. See, we need to go backward. What, next Sunday, we're going to talk about backing up some. You need to go back to where you engaged for about 3 years before you allowed to get married. And it takes 5 years to get a divorce. Anybody can get happy or mad for just a little while. But when you get into marriage, the Lord said, you become one. Oftentimes holding a marriage ceremony, I'll have a couple of eggs broken in a bowl and stir them up with a fork. And tell those people when you can separate the yellow from the white, you're free to get a divorce. But you have become one. You're not two. There's nothing to separate. Only way to separate y'all is cut you both in half. There's nothing to part here. And if you do, the Bible says you will regret it the rest of your life. You'll have trouble the rest of your life. And most do. So watch those who spring up quickly. Then the thorns. The thorns are deceptive. In Jerusalem, you can see a plot of land and thorns will be growing. And you'll say, well, now if they're growing, that tells me that something will grow here. Limestone's not there. Them thorns have been there for years. They say, all right, we'll be all right here. But that's very deceptive because under the thorns is a root system you wouldn't believe. There's more under the ground than above the ground with a thorn. And when you plant your crops and the little roots go down, those old heavy roots under there will just choke them and strangle them. And that's what Jesus says the cares of the world will do to you. That you come and you listen and you do get saved and everything's going good and you in church a little bit, but still the pull of the world, and boy, it's hard. I'd hate to be a teenager right now. We went through a lot, but boy, I feel sorry for them, what's facing them. And the cares of this world, everything is geared to doing wrong. Have you noticed? Everything is geared to doing wrong. Everything is advertised with sex. Pepsi Cola had an ad, a lady with a straw 2 years ago. They finally had to jerk it. So many of us preachers wrote in and called in and complained. I didn't know just what it is she was selling. I mean, it was awful. And I'm not a prude, but goodness, there's a difference between wearing a bathing suit and being naked. People say, well, and I said, well, if you hadn't got anything for sale, quit advertising. Well, that's a little hard. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. See, this country needs to back up a little bit. We need to back up a little bit. We have sowed our seeds among the deceptive thorns, and those underground roots have choked us so bad, we don't know right from wrong anymore. We just don't know right from wrong. No surprise to me, the Bible said it. There'll come a day when they call wrong right and right wrong. They'll be killing people, starting wars, taking the lives of people, and think they are doing it in my name. Remind you of September the 11th? Allah told me to do this. So don't be deceived when you get a little, as we call it, religion. You get in that thing and do what the next group does. That's the fruitful group who come in and hear the gospel and say, well, I never heard that before or like that, and I need a Savior and I want to be saved. So they hear and understand. But they don't stop there. They keep coming. And they bring people with them and say, you need to hear a little bit about this too. Just like you did. And they'll come to Bible study, or they'll study their Bible at home, or they'll start watching Dr. Stanley or Dr. Kennedy on TV, and they begin to get interested in what the Bible says, and they say, after all, if I've accepted Christ and expect to live with him forever, just maybe I ought to read the letter he wrote me and find out what he had to say. And they begin to study, and you'll find out when you do this that you begin to get armor and you begin to get things on you and in you that when the cares of the world come, you are now equipped to push them away. You can say no. We got several people here this morning. They'll say, well, I've got visitors this weekend. We'll be at church with or without them. I said, amen, you learning. Still, we get some say, I'm sorry I wasn't there this weekend. We had visitors. And what? And nothing. So you had visitors. What's that got to do with you coming to church? They were old enough to get here and weren't old enough to wait an hour for you to get back. Well, we didn't want to. No. You don't ever embarrass anybody except someone who died for you for refusing to do the things of God and going to do the things of the world instead. Please understand that. It's politically incorrect to the Lord Jesus who shed his blood for you. I don't care about your guest. And the people who have gotten fruit are sitting before us here. The book of Psalms in the Old Testament said this would happen. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now what you do? Sure it is. Learning. Helping. Send the Wise family the little gray envelopes before you ever saw them. Help these little kids. Before you had a picture of them and knew they existed, I just told you somebody needed help. And through the love of God, you said, I'll do it. See, that's fruit. I got good friends here who aren't as fortunate as some of us. They don't have a home to live in. And they're here every Sunday. Here every Sunday. One of them said, I said, can I do anything for you? He said, you already have. You're my friend. I said, Lord God. He wakes up one that sleeps next to him, wherever it is they sleep, and brings him every Sunday. I said, look at him. Look at the love of God. Look at those who understand and listen. And my family could not exist if it were not for you. Keith came over to our apartment. Excuse me, we don't live in an apartment anymore, do we? We had an apartment behind the Y. Now it's a villa between Grand Dunes and the ocean. We've upgraded. We upscale now. And he said, well, do you own this? I said, no. He said, well, you thinking about buying a place? I said, well, you know, you got to fill out those papers and all. And the loan mortgage company don't understand that you preach at a pavilion in the summer and whatever bar will let you in the winter. And where it says salary, they don't like it when you put maybe. And they won't let you have a house. That's all right. I'm renting that one, but I got one under construction. Yes. All right. So he says, those who have ears, let them hear. And that means the person who hears this morning. You've heard me tell you that you're a sinner like me. You've heard me tell you a Savior came and died for me and for you. That he was buried and rose again, and he's going to come again for me and for you if you've accepted him. But he said, listen, you've heard it. Don't be stony ground and don't be the wayside and don't be those who get excited and quit. So get in here, learn, help, live for me, and forevermore, I'll let you live with me. I said, what a deal. Only a fool would turn that down. And that's the parable of the sower. Real quickly, I'm going to give you the parable of the pavilion. It isn't found in Scripture. So the preacher went by the sea to preach. And had no place to do it. And the churches said, no, you're not a member of us and not of our group. And we just have voted not to have you. I said, thank you. And a man said, I got a place you can greet. I got a pavilion. And you're welcome to preach every Sunday. So we got by the seaside, just like my best friend, and started preaching. And some of it fell on the wayside because we started right back here and we had one row of people with four chairs. And Water Dog was tending bar over here. He had to come. He wanted to anyway. And people walked by the hard cement path out there by the wayside and glanced at us as if we were a bunch of fools. And they kept walking. Then a few began to come and they saw it as a place of entertainment. They said, well, they do have a guy down there that can play music and he's really good. And we'll go down there and listen, and it drew some folks in. But they were here as a stony place. They just came to be entertained. And then there were the thorns. They listened, but they said, that's good and all, but it's not for me. I don't have time. Well, he's talking to that guy in front of me. I know him, and he sure is rotten. I'm sure the preacher got on him today. They saw somebody that they didn't care for and said, well, I hope he comes often, because if anybody needs it, he does. But they began to wonder why they kept coming. And they didn't know God was sending them back so they could bear fruit. And then a group came, look at yourself, and brought others, picked them up on your motorcycle like Jim does, picked them up in your car, rode a bicycle, or walked like my friends back there at the back do. And said, you need to hear about this. And it began to grow, and then they invited others and got on the phone and began to witness and tell people about the Lord Jesus. And George Sloan said, I got a good friend's a Jew. I think I'm going to kill him. That's not the way we teach you to do it, but hey, you're trying. He said, I tell him about Jesus, and he gets mad and wants to fight. Okay. And then we have little Bradley come through the flea market with little Frankie, and a lady sees them who understands the love of God. And she says, I can't preach. Beaver takes care of that. And I couldn't lead the crowd in silent prayer. But I can reach out and help. And because she cared for that baby right there, you are showing the love of God to them through the money you send, the love you share, and the car you bought. So I want to congratulate you this morning for not being just hearers of the word, but being doers, as the scripture instructs us to be. And I thank you on behalf of my wife and I, who could not live without you. And I thank you on behalf of the Wise family, who enjoys life a little bit better because of you. And I thank you on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved you so much that he died for you. And if you don't know him as personal Lord and Savior this morning, as I pray, you just quietly pray to him. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I know it. I need a Savior and I know you're him. And I don't understand all of this, but at the faith of a child, I'm just going to give my life and put it in your hands and ask you to save me. And if you do that, he understands fully what you mean, and he'll do his part. And you will know the joy of a seed planted and one who grows to fruition and can share with others the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can gather by the sea you made with your hands and enjoy the sunshine you made. See the stars, the book says, were just the work of your handiwork, just something extra you thought you'd throw up for sunny nights, dark nights. And we thank you, precious Savior, for the way you've taken care of us and looked after us. ask you to bless those who have allowed us to use their pavilion to spread the word of God. To bless those who have sent their hard-earned money to help the wise children have some things they might not be able to have. To give chairs so people can sit in and hear the gospel. To give a car that two little children can ride to the hospital in comfort. Thank you for your blessings. Be with those who don't know you most, and save the man who's nearest hell. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his holy sake, amen.